Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on Mem Vav Amud Beis, where the last lines with the word Eisevei, just to remind ourselves, we had a big machlokes yesterday between Rav Chista and Rabba with regards to if someone does melacha on Yantiv for a melacha, which theoretically could have been mutter, like cooking, but it was totally for, not for Yantiv at all, you planned it for the weekday, is that an Isher Deraisa or an Isher Derabanan? Are you going to have Malkus on that or not? Rav Chista held that you're going to be Chayav Malkus, it's an Isher Deraisa, and Rabba held that it's an Isher Derabanan. So now, we have a kasha, Rabba has a question on Rav Chista from the following. Eisevei, Rav Chista, Rabba has a question on Rav Chista. Lechem Apanim we know is the bread, the 12 loaves of bread that they used to put on the Shulchan and the Beis HaMikdash, they used to remain there from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos, the Kohanim would remove it on Shabbos, and they would eat it and replace it with the next, immediately with the next Lechem Apanim. So now, so when it comes to Lechem Apanim, the Mishnah tells us in Menachos, turning out the next Amma now, Nechal Letisha La'asara U'le'acharasar, that it could be eaten on the ninth day since it's been baked, or the 10th day after it's been baked, or the 11th day, meaning that it could be this time frame from when it's been baked. And how is that? The Mishnah is going to go on to explain. Lo pachas v'lo yosar, it's not going to be more than this, meaning it's not going to be less than 9, and it's not going to be more than 11. So Kate said, so how is this the case? So says the Mishnah, Kidarko Letisha, in its, if the usual case of the Lechem Apanim, so you bake it on Erev Shabbos, Ne'efa be'Erev Shabbos, you bake it on Erev Shabbos on Friday, V'nechel be'Shabbos Letisha, then it's going to be eaten on the following week, 9 days, if you count the first day, if you count the Friday as part of the count, then it's going to be on your 9th day, as the din of Lechem Apanim. That's the normal time when you have it. That's a regular day. What about Chal Yomtov Leos Bereshit? But what if Yomtov is on Friday? So then you're not allowed to bake on Yantiv. So therefore, you have to bake it a day earlier on Thursday. So then that's going to come out. You have an extra day. So that means Nechal Shabbos Lasara, that it's going to be eaten, this bread that it was eaten by the Kohanim. Lechem Apanim is going to be eaten 10 days after it's been baked, and you would be eating it 10 days after. Shnei Yomim Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah. Now, what if I have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? As Rashi points out, we're talking about the times of the Beis HaMikdash, so there never was a situation where there was Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios there, so they weren't keeping 2 days for any other halak, any other chag, right? The Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios doesn't apply, but having 2 days for Rosh Hashanah would still apply. Why is that? Rosh Hashanah is Enachanami Midaraisa, is also like every other chag, that really in Eretz Yisrael should only be 1 day. So why is it that they would have 2 days? So in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, we know that the calendar was not a fixed calendar. It would be determined by people seeing the new moon. When the witnesses would come and see the new moon, they would come to Beis Din and explain that they'd seen the new moon, and then it would depend really if the lunar cycle of the month would either be 29 or 30 days. So when the 30th day began, it wouldn't be known unless witnesses were coming to testify whether or not that day is going to be Rosh Chodesh. So this doubt with regards to Rosh Hashanah would be, because Rosh Hashanah is really part of Rosh Chodesh as well, so it'd be the same Shaila with Rosh Chodesh. So since it's going to be the month of Tishrei, after 29 days of the previous month of Elul had passed, the people are not going to know whether the next day is really Yantiv. So they used to keep that... there's a din der Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that anyone who would come before Mincha, then they would accept their testimony. So if the deadline passes without any witnesses coming, then it wouldn't be known if Rosh Hashanah would be that day or the next day. So therefore, the Rabbanan made a takana that you keep, that you would have to still keep the first day, even though it turns out that really the Maisa wasn't Rosh Hashanah, you would keep that first day. And then that means that if they didn't come after the first day, Rosh Hashanah would really be the next day as well. That means that the next day would Mimela be Rosh Hashanah, because it would be Rosh Chodesh, it would be Rosh Hashanah. So that next day would also, so they would basically, that is the short version of why they kept 2 days, even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So that is why they would not be able to, it's really mechumra, they would keep both days, so that's why they would not be able to bake the Lechem Apanim. As a shayla, is what happens after the Beis HaMikdash? So is there still a din of keeping 2 days in Eretz Yisrael? Believe it or not, that's a shayla. We know nowadays that that's not a shayla, but in the early Gaonim and the Talmidei Arif, they had a machlokas about this, that whether or not you keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. So, to the dismay of many Israelis, we paskin like the Talmidei Arif. No one recently in the last 800 years, I don't think, paskined that you would keep 1 day. But that was an earlier time, right after the Gemara, that was a shaila if you should still be keeping 2 days of Eretz Yisrael. But we keep 2 days of Eretz Yisrael. Everyone keeps 2 days of Eretz Yisrael with regards to Rosh Hashanah. So now, if you have Rosh Hashanah, which is going to be 2 days, so then you're going to have a situation where you can't bake it on Thursday or Friday if that was when Rosh Hashanah fell out that year. Then it would come out, Nechal Le'acharasar. Then it would be eaten on the 11th day after it's been baked, If again the 29th of Elul fell on a Wednesday, in which case Rosh Hashanah would be falling out on Thursday and Friday, then Lechem Apanim would have to be baked on Wednesday and it would be eaten 10 days after. Rashi just points out, wait a second, what's going to be 10 days after that Shabbos? Isn't that going to be Yom Kippur? That's going to be Yom Kippur. So how could it be that they're eating Lechem Apanim on Yom Kippur? So Rashi has two suggestions. Rashi says the first answer is maybe the Braisa is referring to a case in which Rosh Hashanah was only 2 days, meaning Thursday and Friday. That is going to be if the witnesses the new moon only came after Mincha, the previous day had begun. In such a case, the month of Tishrei actually really is going to be the next day on Friday. That's going to be the Iker day. So therefore, Yom Kippur really is going to fall out on Sunday. I mean, the Iker day is going to be Friday, is going to be Rosh Hashanah. That's going to be Aleph. So then 10 days later, really, it's not Shabbos, it's really going to be Sunday. Rosh says, maybe you could say that we're talking about Yom Kippur also, but that Yom Kippur actually was, in fact, Rosh Hashanah really was Thursday, and the Edom came before Mincha time. And that really was Aleph Tishrei. That came out, is that Aleph Tishrei was on the Thursday, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur really is going to be 10 days later on Shabbos. And we're talking about where they ate it, Motzei Shabbos, they ate it the night after. We said it's going to be in 11 days, that's really 12 days. Rashi says, when it comes to Korbanos, we know that the halacha by Korbanos is that the day is starting, we go after the day, as opposed to, for all Jewish purposes, the night is really the next day. Right? When it comes to whatever date we're talking about, Yud L'Chodesh is the night before, that's when Yud L'Chodesh starts. That's when Yom Kippur, let's say, the night before, every halacha, when it comes to Korbanos, for different halachas, is that really we can't only go after the day. The day is the Iker, and the night of that day is followed by that. But when it comes to how long you can eat it, etc., those halachas, so to over here, it referred to that this concept, so therefore we really refer to it as only 11 days, when really, theoretically, halachically, may have been, for other purposes, maybe even viewed as 12 days. Okay, interesting. Rashi, now the Gemara continues, the Gemara says that, Lefish in Adoche, Loas the Shabbos, Velos Yom Tov. Again, we're asking a question now, that the Lechem Apanim is not able to be baked on Yom Tov, because it's not Doche Yom Tov or Shabbos, so therefore you have to bake it before Yom Tov or Shabbos. So this, based on this last point, Rabba has a question of Chist. Rabba asks, V'i Abras, now if you're gonna tell me, Tzorche Shabbos Nasin V'yom Tov, that the things that you do for Shabbos may be prepared on Yom Tov, so then says Rabba, then Amai lo dachi Yom Tov. According to you, why isn't it going to override the halachas of Yom Tov? Why isn't it bitochet? Meaning that the lechem apadim is a tzorach of Shabbos because it's removed from the shulchan and eaten on Shabbos. So according to Rav Chista, one should be allowed to bake the lechem apadim on Yom Tov, even though there's a din derabanan against doing malacha on Yom Tov. So in this case, though, we generally have a concept of shvus is not applicable in mikdash. And when you have dinim derabanan, the rabbanan isurim, they generally are going to be mevatel them. They get rid of them in the base of Mikdash. If that's the case, so then why, according to you, are you not allowed to make the Lechem Apanim on Yantav itself? Because Midaraisa is totally mutter. Again, there might be a Gzera Darabanan, but in the base of Mikdash, there shouldn't be a Gzera Darabanan. Now, according to Rabbah, why isn't this a Shaila? According to Rabbah, it's not a Shaila, because in his view, doing a Malacha on Yom Tov for Shabbos is Midaraisa going to be Asra, unless it's possible that guests are going to come, unless you say Hoil. This is not going to be the case when it comes to Lechem Apanim, because no guests are allowed to eat it. Nobody's allowed to eat it till a whole week later. So obviously, that is not going to be applicable over here, and we would have an Isra Daraisa. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista answers this question. Amar Leir, Rav Chista responds to Rabbah, Shavus krova hitiru, shavus rechoka lo hitiru. That the Rabbanan allowed only when the Rabbanan say that you're right, that generally there's a concept we just mentioned of shavus and Isra Rabbanan not applying in the base of Mikdash. When do we apply that halacha? Says Rav Chista, we only apply that to an immediate purpose for that day. It has to be something that's shayach for that day. That's what would wave an Isser. Here, you're permitting an Isser Darabanan that really fundamentally is not going to be used until the next Shabbos really is when they're going to be eating it. So then, obviously, that's not something which is near at all. So therefore, that's not something which is going to have the heter of this din Darabanan. That's what comes out for Rav Chista. That's how Rav Chista answers Rabbah. I just saw the Noda Behuda is a fascinating limud from this Gemara right here. The Noda Behuda says, he was asked a question, a Rav, that the Erev fell down in a city on a Friday of Yontif. So he wanted to know if he could ask a non-Jew to put back the pole. Let's say a certain pole or string fell down. Can he ask the non-Jew to put back the string? So he thought, maybe you could say shvus to shvus makom mitzvah. Not getting into the whole reason why the second thing was a shvus, but there's the first shvus is a iser amir la'akum, to ask a non-Jew to do something for you. And the second shvus is the fact that it's Yantav Sheni. It was the second day of Yantav. And the Shaul was asking him, it was 3 day Yantav. The second day was a Yantav Sheni. So it was only a Didar Abanan. So can you ask him to do put the Erev in order that everyone should be able to carry on Shabbos? So the Nodi Buddha thought that this concept should apply, that it would be another reason to be machmir, is that the fact of shvus krovei tiru, shvus rechoka lo tiru, that at the end of the day, really, you're going to be using it's not an immediate purpose. When we say Shavuos L'Shavuos Ma'aser Mitzvah, it's for the tzorach of that yant, of the yantav itself. You're asking him to do something which is only going to benefit you the next day on Shabbos. Maybe that's already considered Shavuos Rechoka, as we see from this Gemara, that Shavuos Rechoka were more machmiran, and maybe wouldn't allow you based on that. Fascinating raya that he brings from this Gemara. Now, either way, Rabbah continues asking, so now we answer this point. Now, Rabbah asks, wait a second, but according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, the Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the Amar Mishim Rabban Shimon ben Askan, he said that ben Askan was a position of the person who was the second in command to the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol was of main. He was basically the backup for the Kohen Gadol. So that's the lashon of Rabban Shimon ben Askan. So what did he hold? He held docha as yontav ve'ina docha as tzom, that the baking of the lechem upon him actually, in fact, would override yontav, but it does not override doing it on Yom Kippur. So that is the Mishnah Menachos tells us that he has a different sheet. According to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the lechem upon him is baked on Friday, even if that day is going to be Yontif. The only exception is where Friday is going to be Yom Kippur. In that case, the baking lech upon him is going to be done on Thursday. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that midareisam, it's permitted to perform a lacha from food and yamtiv, not only for yamtiv but also for Shabbos. And even though Rabbanim made a gzira on yamtiv to Shabbos over here, when it comes to the Beis Hamikdash, they in fact did remove the shvus, and they said that it would not apply. However, Yom Kippur, where food preparation might be midaraisa, problem there, the Rashi points out that maybe there would be more room to be machmer. So now, according to him, though, the Gemara is asking, Rabbi is asking, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, my ikalamimer, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, it holds that one is allowed to bake lechem upon him from Yomtiv. We see that the Din Darabanan was eventually, the Shavuos was taken away from us in the Beis HaMikdash, and we were willing to be makil and say that there's no problem of this Isser Darabanan of cooking from Yomtiv to Shabbos. So why wouldn't we assume that that would be the case? Again, that would mean that he clearly says that the lechem upon him was allowed to be baked from Friday to Yom Tov, so we see that we do waive the Isser Derabanan. So the Gemara continues, so Behal Pliki, Rav Chista responds that the Tana Kama of this Bryson and Rav Shimon Gamliel are arguing over this very point. That is what they're arguing about. Mar Savar Shvus Krove Hitiru, that the Tana Kama is really going to hold that they say that the Isser Derabanan for immediate purpose is going to be mutter. However, Shvus Rechoka Lo Hitiru, but when it comes to doing an Isser Derabanan in the Beis HaMikdash for, let's say, tomorrow or a different day or a week later, in our case, the fact that you can eat the lechem upon him only a week later, that is going to be usher. Mar Safar, however, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds Shavuos Rechoka Dami Itiru, that they actually did in fact allow us to assume that the Tana Kama and Rav Shimon Gamliel are actually arguing over this very point, and that's what Rav Chista responds. Now the Gemara has another question on Rav Chista, that again, midaraisa, it's mutter to do malacha on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So Meisiv Rav Mari, have a question from the Mishnah, Shtei Alechem Eina Nechalos Lo Pagos Mishnayim. The Shtei Alechem are the korbanos that the bread that they used to have on Shavuos. Those are two loaves of bread that was the korban tzibur that they used to bring. They used to wave them, right? And that was the korban they used to bring on Shavuos. So now Shtei Alechem Eina Nechalos Lo Pagos Mishnayim. They were never eaten less than 2 days after they were baked, meaning that they were eaten no earlier than on the second day after they were baked. Velo Yoser Shlosha, not more than 3 days after they're baked. How does that work? Kate said, Nefos Erev Yom Tov, so if they were baked on Erev Shavuos, that's the normal case, Nechalos Yom Tov Shnayim, so they're going to be on the second day, they're going to be in on the first day of Shavuos, which is the second day after they've been baked. Again, counting the first day, meaning that we're counting day one as the day they were baked, and then day two is going to be Shavuos. And the Gemara says, Chal Yom Tov Lios Achar Shabbos, but what if Yom Tov falls out after Shabbos, meaning, let's say it falls out on Sunday, so then you would have to bake them a day earlier. So Nechalos, so you're going to bake them on Friday. That's going to be 3 days: Friday, Shabbos, and then on Saturday, on Sunday is going to be Shavuos. Nechalos Yom Tov L'Shlosh is going to be on the third day. So Lefisha Inadocha Lo Hase Shabbos Lo Hase Yom Tov, because baking the Shtei Alechem is not going to override either Shabbos or Yom Tov. So now Rav Mari has a question of V'Amar, so similar to our previous question. V'Amar is Torcha Shabbos Nasim Yom Tov. Now, if you say it like you, Rav Chista wanted Taina that Shabbos is allowed to be prepared for on Yom Tov, meaning you compare on Yantiv for Shabbos and Friday, that's a Yantiv, you can prepare for Shabbos, then you'd have the following question though. Hashta the Shabbos biyom the Shari, now since it's permitted to prepare the needs for Shabbos and Yantiv, the Yomtov biyomtov mibai, so then is there going to be any question that actually, meaning if you're allowed to prepare for Friday for Shabbos, so then on Yantiv itself, for the Yantiv, meaning to bake the lechem upon him on Yantiv itself for Shavuos, that should kavach omer should be okay. So that the Mishnah clearly didn't say that, but according to your logic, why wouldn't that be the case? Again, to flesh out Rashi's Marach over here, that to flesh out Rav Mari's argument is that according to Rabbah, that the Torah says that one is that Midar Reisa, it's Mutar Dumalacha on Yantav for Latorach Ocha Nefesh only, where the food could be used to him immediately as soon as it's fully prepared. The reason someone's going to be allowed to prepare for Yantav for Shabbos, or if the day is Yantav, is that the guests might come. So if they might come, so then you're going to serve them food. In the case of the Shteya Lechem, obviously there's going to be no guests having the Shteya Lechem. It's usher for everyone to have it until you bring the korban. So therefore, since it's possible to bake the Shteya Lechem before Yantav, you have a chiyav then to make it before Yantav. But according to Rav Chista, midoraisa, it's mutter to bake on Yantav for Shabbos in every circumstance, so one should be allowed. Then obviously, Kal Vachomer to say that you should be able to bake on Yantav for the Yantav itself. So why then were the Shteya Lechem not baked for Yantav itself? That's how you flesh out the question. So the Gemara says, so Rav Chista defends his answer. He says, again, Shaini Hasam, that there it's a different case. To Amar Kra Lachan, the Pasuk says that it should specifically be, the Pasuk says, Ach Asher Ya'achel, Ya'achel, L'chol Nefesh, Hulevado Ya'aseh Lachem. Again, this is talking about the heter to be cooking on Yantiv, that anything which is used anything which is eaten by people, that can be done for you. So what's the emphasis on for you? So the drasha is now lachem v'logavol, only specifically cooking or baking for you, as opposed to something that is done for kachim purposes, which is the shtei lechem, even though it was eaten by kohanim, it's still ikar ikaron, it's still considered kachim, so therefore you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to bake it on Yantav. So it's a gzera, special gzera sakasiv. So the Gemara continues, Rav Mari then responds though, that in fact, docha es Yantav, that the baking of Shteya Lechem would in fact take precedence on Yantav, meaning that it would be overriding the Isra of Yantav, so you'd be allowed to bake the Shteya Lechem on Shavuos. So then, this is a very similar shayla we had before, then according to this, Ma'ikla Mimar, what are we going to say to respond to how is a rabbi going to answer this? Rav Chisra rather going to respond to this. So the Gemara says, "Savar lak Abba Shaul," so that he is going to agree with Abba Shaul. The Amar Lachem, he says that the pasuk of Lachem is a different drasha, that it means Lachem v'lo l'nachrim. That when it comes to when we say Hulu Vadele Yaseh Lachem, that means that a person is not nothing to do with the Beis Hamikdash that you're allowed to cook on Yantiv for the Beis HaMikdash. You are allowed to cook for the Yantiv Beis HaMikdash. What is the Lachem? Lachem is that you're not allowed to cook for a non-Jew on Yantiv. That's Lachemais. The person is not allowed to make extra food for a non-Jew on Yantiv purposes. Only for a Jew are you allowed to make food on Yantiv itself. Now Rav Chista has a question on Rabbah. So now it says Rav Chista, Shalach le Rav Chista le Rabbah biyad Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. Apparently Rashi says that he sent the message through Rav Acha bar Rav Huna, he asked him to ask the Shaila, maybe because he would have been able to explain it properly, to ask the question properly, then so he wanted to send him the following Shaila. Mia, this reminds me of a story that, I think Rav Bik had a psak with Rav Moshe that he had a psak of Rav Moshe that he wasn't so happy with. So he told his trusted Talmud Muvak to go tell Rav Moshe that Satmar Rebbe asks you to retract for whatever reason, but he specifically warned him, don't argue with Rav Moshe in the halacha. Because if you start arguing with Rav Moshe in halacha, you're going to get totally blown away, and he's going to convince you that I'm totally wrong, and then you're going to agree with him. So just tell him that Satmar Rebbe disagrees, and he asks for, that you please retract the psak. So the Talmud went, and he Yitzhara came in, and he ended up speaking to Rav Moshe in the sugya, and he came back saying, "Sam, Rabbi, I really think that maybe you should reconsider." He said, "Did you speak to Rav Moshe in the learning?" So he wasn't trusted like this, the Rabbi Rav Huna, Rav Acha over here, that he sent him to ask the Shaila because he knew he would be able to ask the Shaila properly. That he asked the Shaila properly to Rabbah. So now again, so what do you say? Mi Amrinan Hoil. So do we really apply the principle of Hoil over here? Vatnan. Don't we learn in the Mishnah? The Mishnah tells us, Yish Choresh Telamecha, this is a Mishnah in Makos, that someone can plow. In one plowing, he's going to be Chayav Aleha Mishum Shmona Lavin. You could, all for this, you could get for 8 Lavin, 8 Isurim Daraisa, meaning 8 sets of Makos you're going to get, 8 sets of 39 lashes. In a situation where you do the following. HaChoresh B'Shor V'Chamor. So here's our first Isser D'Raisa, is, as Rashi quotes, the Pasuk says, Lo Sahachro Shor V'Chamor, that's an Isser D'Raisa of having them together, of Kilayim with regards to animals. So that is the first Isser. V'Hein Mukdashim. And they are both Hekdesh. So this is two more Isserim over here. You're going to be over on the Shor, Rashi says, because that's Kochem Izbeach, that's Lo Sa'avod B'Shor Korecha. And Rashi quotes, when it comes to the Chamor, which is Kochem Betek Abayis, you're going to be Chayav Me'ila. So those are two more Isserim, so we're at already Isser number 3. And now it's also Klai Mekerem, that when you have Klai in a vineyard, they're planting things together, they're mixing the different things, when you have like wheat kernels and grape seeds together, that is going to be the Isser D'Raim of Klai Kerem. So there also, now we're at our fourth Isser D'oraisa, turning on to the next Amud now. Vishvius also, he does so during Shvius, which is Usser to Sadcha Lo Sizra Kalayim Sadcha Lo Sizra V'choresh is a tolda of Zorei Rashi points out, and that's an Isser D'oraisa on Shvius to do this. B'yomtov, now also, it was also Yomtov, so this is going to be number six now on the Isserim chart. And he's also Kohen, he's a Kohen, so that's another Isser D'oraisa to go in a... And we're talking about in a grave. V'nazir abeis atumah. He's talking about Kohen, who also was known there to be a Nazir. So there's another Isser over there. That's number 7 and 8. The Kohen is number 7. The fact that he's another is number 8 in a cemetery. So that is your 8 lavim over here. So now that's the Mishnah. So Serge Rav Chista, a question of the Mishnah though. V'i amrin and hoel. Now if, according to you, Rabbi, that we apply the principle of hoel, so then, if we apply this principle that the people, that there's concept of hoel, then over here, acharisha lo lechayev, then you shouldn't be chayev for plowing on Yantuv. Why? Because hoel v'chazel ikisu dam tipur. Since you could use the dirt that you just plowed up, you could use it for covering the blood of a bird. We know that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa that a person, after he shechs an animal, a bird, or a behemah, I think not a chaya, right? A bird or behemah, then you're going to be chayed to cover the blood. Right, that's the mitzvah of kisui adam. So if this is asking, according to Rabbah, that if we apply the principle of hoel, why does the Mishnah tell you that you're going to be chayav malchus for plowing on yantiv? Why don't we say hoel that you may come across birds and animals that you want to shecht, in which case after you shecht this bird, you're going to have to need to cover up their blood, and you're going to use. So there's a chance over here that this is going to be relevant to yantiv. So therefore, it shouldn't be an iser deraisa according to you. So the Gemara says, Amar of Papa Bashmol, so the answer for Rabbah, Ba'avanim Mekruzalas. We're talking about specifically very pointy stones, which the fact that they're pointy, and they're not going to be, therefore you're not going to be able to use them for covering the blood. So therefore, there you don't apply the principle of hoil. So really what we're coming out is that really normal stones, and Echanami wouldn't say there's an Isser D'oraisa, so only for these pointy stones. So the Gemara says, Ru'uyos Lekochan, but aren't they, at the end of the day though, wait a second, once they're pointy, that doesn't matter though, you can crush them into small pieces, and then once you crush them, you should be able to crush them and then use them again for covering the blood. So therefore, you would have the purpose of hoel again. So the Gemara says, "V'ktisha b'yantiv mishari," but is really going to be crushing them on yantiv? Is that going to be permitted? That's going to be an iser d'oraisa also. That's a tolda of tochen of grinding. I saw that in the Gemara in Shabbos. So then at the end of the day, that's not going to be allowed. You can't crush them. So then again, therefore, even according to Rabbah, we have, just to keep in line where the question was, that it's still an Isser D'oraisa. So the Gemara asks, Re'uyas l'kochan kal achiyad, but these stones, you can do them on a D'oraisa way that would be mutter. If you do them in a different way, in an unusual way, if you do it differently than you normally do, that's called kal achiyad, then that mid D'oraisa is not going to be usher. So therefore, what comes out is that Hoel would tell us, you're not going to be chayav for applying these stones on Yantav again, because I can do Ketisha in a way of kal achiyad. And therefore, at the end of the day, what comes out over here is that it would be midrabanan, but that doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we're talking about Isser D'oraisa of getting malchus, which Rabbah seemed to agree with, that you'd be chayav malchus. So at the end of the day, why are you chayav malchus? So the Gemara says, so therefore, the Gemara gives a different answer. The Gemara says, really, maybe we're talking about bitsnuma. We're talking about where it was like a rocky surface, rocky, like the surface area that you're using, the ground, that is going to be rocky. So therefore you can't crush it, and it's therefore not going to be roi for covering the blood. So therefore it's an Isser D'oraisa even according to Rabbah. So the Gemara says, wait a second though, Tanuma Barzria is what you would never plow over a field when it's something that is going to be so rocky. So therefore, the Mishnah can't be speaking about that. So therefore, the Gemara explains, Tzonma milmala ve'afar tichuach milmata. Really, we're talking about where it's rocky on the top. However, the area below is in fact soft. So since the area below is soft, therefore you're going to be chayav for doing the charisha for plowing on yantav, because the rocky upper level is not able to be used for the kisui adam. So the Gemara says, v'tepukle mishum afar tichuach, but then if that's the case, that he shouldn't be chayav for plowing on yantav because of the soft ground on the bottom. Therefore, since he made it available, it shouldn't be chayav at the end of the day. So the Gemara explains, El Amar Ravashi, so therefore we have a different answer, Betina. We're dealing with a case where it's very, very muddy, and therefore it's not able to use this type of mud in order to, only very dry ground you're able to use, which is not going to stick, is going to be able to be used for the mitzvah. This is, not able to use this mud over here for Kisui Adam. So the Gemara asks, the Betina Barzrio, is it really mud fit for covering it? Is that really true? Is it fit for plowing? Rather, so is it fit for plowing? So where it says, bimos nisna. So really we're talking about where it's a type of moist mud, which therefore is fit for plowing. Therefore, it's not fit for covering the blood because it sticks together. So therefore we've answered the question. So the Gemara now says, Esive Abaya. Abaya is a question from the Braisa though. So that we've answered that Braisa, that we're talking about a case where you could come up with an Esive Abaya where it is it is a moist type of mud, which therefore is not roy for kisui adam, and therefore you'd have an isra deraisa even according to Rabbah. So the Gemara comes in is isave abaya. Abaya is a question from the braisa. Mevashel giranasha bechalav biyomtov. Someone who cooks a giranasha. Giranasha is the isra deraisa I think it's translated as the sciatic nerve or something like that. That's the area where you're not allowed to eat it in the area of a cow, the meat of a giranasha. If you cook it in milk on yontiv v'ochlo and you eat that same giranasha that you cooked with milk, you're going to be chayav loke chamesh. You're going to be five sets of malchus. You're going to be chayav. What are they? Loke mishum mevashel gid b'yomtiv. You're going to be chayav malchus because you cooked the gid on yontiv. So therefore, the fact that it's not roy la'achila at all, so I've cooked something, I've done an Isra Malacha of cooking for something that I'm not allowed to eat at all, so therefore that's an Isra Deraisa of cooking. That's Isra number one. The Loka Mishum Ochal Gid, and that's an Isra Deraisa number two, is the fact that I ate the Gid. The Loka Mishum Evasha Basar B'chalav, and also you're cooking Basar B'chalav, Lo Sevasha Gidi B'chalav Imo. It's a deraisa of basar b'chalav. That's the third iser. Beloke mishum ocha basar b'chalav. Not only that, you're going to be chayav malchus for eating basar b'chalav. We know the fact, the famous thing. It says three times lo sevashel. Three times. So we learn out from there that cooking meat and meal is usur, eating it is also, and also having hana. There's an iser hana from basar b'chalav. So here you're eating it. Beloke mishum avara, and also you're going to be chayav for lighting a fire in yantiv, because this fire was not needed to prepare for the food for yantiv. Therefore, you're going to be chayav for lighting it. So we had two different malachas. You've done havara, which is just lighting the fire, and then cooking is a further malacha. That's another iser. So that's why you have the two different iserim over there, and for some total of five. So says now the Gemara though. So a question that this is, we're fleshing out the question of Rabbah. But iam rinan hoil. If we in fact say that there's a principle called hoil, So then, at the end of the day, avara lo lechayev, you shouldn't be chayev for lighting a fire. Yontiv hoil dechazi le tarka, because at the end of the day, the fire is roi. If you, it could be used for cooking permitted food. Hoil, it could be used for permitted food. You should not be chayev for lighting it, even if you didn't intend to use it for food. So the Gemara says, in a chanami, amar le. So he responded, Rabbah responds back to Rabbaye, apik avara va'ayal gid anasha shal nevela. You have to amend the braisa and fix the braisa to say that we're talking about lighting a fire not talking about lighting a fire, and we should really say that we're talking about eating a gid anasha of nevela. That nevela is the extra issa over here. Nevela is an extra issa to raisa. It's an issa to raisa to have nevela. So therefore, that's the extra issa that we're talking about over here. So that's not true though. The Gemara says, v'atanei Rav Chiya, but wait a second. We learn in the braisa though, lokin shtayim alcha, so you're going to be chayav two sets of malchus for eating the gidanasha, v'shalosh al bishulo, and three for cooking it. So we have three for cooking it. So you're going to be chayav for lighting a fire in yantiv, for cooking in yantiv, and for cooking meat and milk. And the first set of eating the gidanasha and eating the basar b'chalav together. So now, at the Isa, according to you though, you're going to be chayav shalosh al achilas mibayla. You should be chayav three for eating it, because it's really the fact that you are eating the gidanasha, the fact that you're having basar b'chalav, and the fact that you're eating the vela. Those are the three serum, and only two for the cooking. That's not the lashon of the brisa. So the Gemara says, ela apik havara v'ayil atzei muktzis. Therefore, Rabbi says, you're right. So maybe I should fix the brisa to take out havara and really say that we're talking about a case where you used wood, which was muktza. Muktza is what we know. Muktza is something that's not designated for purposes on Shabbos and Yantiv. So since I wasn't planning on using this wood, according to Rabbi here, we're assuming that the concept that it's not set aside is telling us that it's an Isser Daraisa to use this wood. So the Gemara says, a Muktzah Daraisa? Is that really true, that the ban of using Muktzah is an Isser Daraisa? You're going to be Chayav Malchus for the Muktzah? So the Gemara says, Amar Leh, He responded by, yeah, in fact it is. It really is an Isser Deraisis. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says that on the sixth day they're going to prepare what they're bringing. And this Pasuk is telling us that at the end of the day, we're talking about the man over here, which fell right before every day of the week. But on Shabbos, they got a double portion. So the Pasuk tells us that they have to take the preparations to prepare the man. So since you have to declare and establish what you're going to use, so that is the idea of mukta. We're assuming that's an Isser D'Oraisa. And not only that, but so that's the Isser. Azharas Malkus. Every Isser in the Torah, which you get Malkus on, you need the Isser, and you also need the Onesh, and you also need the Azhara, the warning. So where's the Azhara? Where's the warning for this? Milosa Asech Malacha. The Pasuk says, don't do any Malacha. And this would be included in that lap. So the Gemara says, Abaya has a problem with this. So Abaya says, Amar Lei, Va'at Amar. But wait a second. Aren't you the one who told us that by my name Rav Chista, I asked Rav Chista one time, but I'm like, by my name Rav Huna. Others say that Rabba asked Rav Huna. Either way, Rabba had a question, and this was the question he asked. Hevi se me'efer. Me'efer shavko tamid biyom tov mahu. If someone brought a sheep from a very far place and wanted to use it as the korban tamid on Yontiv, is that sheep going to be allowed to be brought? We're talking about that on Yontiv used to bring... You were allowed to bring the korban tamid, korban tamid shoshachar, tamid shabin abayim, had to be brought. So now, if you bring the korban tamid from a faraway place which you never planned on using, is that going to be kosher for using it on the base of Middash? You, Rabbah, explained to us that Allah, on this question, so you quoted the pasuk which says v'se achas min atom, read the whole pasuk right now, min amasayim, min mashke Yisrael amincha v'la'olav v'lasham l'chaper leim, nu'um Hashem, Elokim. The Pasuk is telling us that the Pasuk says, and from the sheep and from the flock of 200 from the grand feast, the big feast of Klal of Yisrael. So each term is going to be a drasha. Se, it teaches us a sheep and not a bechor, below bechor. Achas, below meiser, an animal, and therefore you can't use meiser to bring the korban tamid of Shoshach Rabbein Arbaim. Uminatzon, below palgas. And from the flock, this thing is excluding a palgas. A palgas is a male sheep. After I think it's from the 12th month to the 13th month, if I'm not mistaken, that's a palgas. And then turning on to the next number now, mina masayim, from 1 and 200s, that's teaching us that the wine for nesachim may be drawn mimoser shteimos teshaber b'bor. That only if you have 1 and 200 parts that were in the vat is going to be. Kosher, so that teaches you mikan la'orla shabed la'tinotar. So here we learn that orla is going to be nullified when it's 1 and 200, because here we're talking about a case where you had something that was usher 1 and 200. That's going to be okay. More than 1 and 200 is a problem. So the Gemara says mimashke Yisrael, and what do we learn from the fact that it was this grand meal of mashke? Literally means a beverage, but we're talking about here, Rashi's telling us that in the context it means a very big meal, so it's like a big fancy meal. So then, that we're learning from here, mina musar leYisrael, that we're learning that that's permitted for Yisrael. Mikan amru, that from here we said ein mavim nesachin mina tevel. You're not allowed to bring nesachim from wine that's tevel. Tevel is a thing that wasn't truma meiser, wasn't taken off from it. So you're not allowed to use tevel grapes to bring a korban. So now the Gemara says, based on the last point, yochol lo yavim mina muksa. I would have thought maybe you can't bring the nesachim, the libations from wine that's going to be muktzah that was set aside not to use it. So that's not the case, though. Amar ma tevel miyuchat shisar gufa gorim lo. That tevel is different. That tevel is right away. That the fact that you take off the grape and you don't take out that literally it means that the prohibition is the iser is on itself, literally, meaning that inherently it's a problem in tevel right away. Av kol shisar gufa gorim lo. So that's going to be anything that's inherently usher, that right away it becomes usher. Yotza muktzah she'ein isar gufa gorim lo. That's going to be excluding the case of mukta that inherently it's not usher, it's something that's inherently fine. These grapes were fine. You just set it aside for a separate reason that you didn't want to have it. So that's Gemara. El isar davar acher gorim lo. At the end of the day, there's a different reason causing it to be usher again that you set it aside. So the Braisa is telling you that mid-Doraisa, that it's not going to be usher to have a mukta item as a korban. That's what we're learning from the Braisa. Because at the end of the day, the Amrat Isra Muksa Deraisa, because if you assume that the Isra of Muksa is Deraisa as you want to tie it, Mali Isra Gufa, Mali Davar Acher. At the end of the day, what's the difference whether the Usr is inherently Usr or something is Usr because of a side reason? There should be no difference. If it's in the din d'oraisa, we don't make this chiluk. You can only make this argument if the din of mukseh is only d'rabbanan, then it makes sense to make this chiluk over here, that the rabbanan said that this usr, this isr of, with regards to which type of thing you could bring, is whether or not inherently it's usr or not. But when it comes to, you can't tell me that we're talking about an isr d'oraisa, that it matters that if it's externally a problem. That shouldn't matter at all when it comes to this point. But, oh, not only that, Rabbah just adds in, ha, hu at amart, aren't you the one who told us chiluk malachos l'shabbos, that when it comes to if you do many malachas on Shabbos, let's say you do bishul and you do borer, whatever malachas you're doing on Shabbos, you do many malachas, you're going to be chayav every single malach, you're going to be chayav a korban chatas. Ve'in chiluk malachas liyomtov. And now there is no different malachas on yomtov. If you do multiple malachas, let's say the same thing, I did bishul, bishul is a bad example, let's say I did borer, or whatever, I did all the malachas, bishul, borer, not for tzorach lecha nefesh, for other purposes, and I did them together, I'm not going to be chayav multiple sets of a korban, or going to be chayav multiple sets of malchus. So according to this, if you do many malachas in yantiv, you're only going to chayav one iser of malchus. So then how can you tell me that the Bryce is telling you that someone who cooks and uses mukta on yantiv is going to be chayav two sets of malchus? According to you yourself, you only told it's going to be one. Okay, Bezos Hashem will pick up with Ella Apik. That's the Gemara is already coming on to a new answer based on the kasha that we just suggested now. So we'll pick up from there, Bezos Hashem, tomorrow.